Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Astros lose one last night. 4-1 was the final. They just, there's too many holes in the lineup. And again, yeah, I'm like, who is Nelson? Why is a Nelson Velasquez batting with the bases loaded in the first inning? Can somebody explain this to me? What is a Nelson Velasquez? And why is he at the plate for my team right now with the bases loaded? And didn't come through. And the Astros didn't score any runs. And they lose 4-1. And Hunter doesn't look like Hunter.
No.
He throws a lot of fastballs. His four seam just sails on him, and it's not even competitive. It's up. The Niners got to go up and jump to get some of these pitches of his.
Yeah, he hasn't looked the same.
No.
He hasn't looked the same since he's come back. He hasn't been bad, but he's been pretty average by his standards. He hasn't looked dominant. He hasn't put two really strong games together at all since he's returned. And it's a major concern because he's what, like, he has to be a given. Having Hunter Brown step up. How long can Lambert keep doing this? This is the most he's ever pitched in baseball. Never pitched this much.
Yeah.
How long can you keep expecting him to put these kind of games up on the board?
I don't. It's amazing. It really is.
Yeah, he's never even gotten close to this kind of action.
Give Dano some love, okay? He found him. He lost him, and then he found him again.
He cut him, and then he had to bring him back out of
sheer desperation. He did bring him back, though, didn't he? Nobody else did.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's...
Nobody else picked up Nelson Velasquez either.
Good stuff by Dana.
You got to give him some love. Oh, no.
Roster stuff.
And now the Tucker trade.
You're telling me to give him love. The Astros are 61-60. You got to give him... Okay, there's your love.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you count...
It's not all his fault, and a lot of it is his fault. So
if you count the AL Central, the Astros would be in second place. With those 10 teams, the Astros are in second place at 61-60.
Okay.
That's how bad those two divisions are.
Yeah, two divisions in the American League that bad. And four teams in the AL East are just crushing.
Well, three, Boston, I mean.
Well, four have winning records, right?
I think the three of them do. But either way.
Oh, no, that's right. The Orioles have fallen off.
Yeah.
They were sitting in good shape.
Yep. So in either way, I mean, listen, the Astros aren't the... The Yankees and Rays are not that much better.
John, there's five teams.
It's just a bad American League.
There's five teams in the American League with a winning record.
Yeah.
And the Astros are one of them at 61-60.
Right. Right. And it's just sad.
Good Lord. I mean, the Rangers are right now, the Rangers are at, you know, 500. But above 500, the Astros, the White Sox are 61-57. And then Red Sox, Yankees, and Rays. Those are your only five teams. Five out of 15 teams have winning records.
Crazy.
Obviously, if you look over the National League, it's a
much different
story.
The reason is interleague play. The National League is just killing. You know, you got to have an interleague game all the time. And the National League is just killing the American League.
Yeah, 13 winning teams in Major League Baseball, 17 losing teams. Pretty interesting. That means you've got some high win teams on the other side.
Two.
And sure enough, you know, there's the Braves with 72.
Well, Milwaukee.
Tampa at 73. Milwaukee is killing at 74. Cubs with 70. I didn't really realize the Cubs have been. The Cubs have really kind of, I don't pay as close of attention, but Cubs have played much better recently.
Bregman's gotten better, too. I went and looked him.
OPS is still a little low, but.
Yeah, he's 729 OPS right now, but he's better than he was to start.
I did a Bregman-Tucker. Every, like, 2 or 3 weeks, I'll do a Bregman and Tucker search, see what those guys are doing. Not that it matters. Like, Bregman you might have been able to hang on to because things got a little dicey for him, if you wanted to. Tucker, you never, you know, that was never going to happen. But I just go check on them. Also, they're former Astros. I just go check on them. I'm not really. I'm not preying on Alex Bregman's downfall at all. I'm not really. I because Tucker ended up at LA, I really have no choice but to. I don't pray on his downfall, but I also don't hate a downfall. I'm sorry, you're with the Dodgers. There's nothing I can do about this, Kyle.
Yeah.
And you didn't perform in a postseason, so I don't have the same love for you that I have for Alex Bregman.
You know, and I looked at Alex Bregman's OPS, career OPS is 835, which in today's game is pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 835 career OPS. And I just compare all of them to Lance Berkman, 943 career OPS. Mm-hmm. And
that was a different time.
We didn't know. I don't know that we knew what we had. He was so much fun and, you know, funny, and he came in studio with us and all that. He was a big time ball player.
Do you know what you have right now with Jeremy Peña since goodness. We flipped the calendar?
He's been awful.
He's hitting 114 in August right now. I'm sorry, 140 in August right now with a 508 OPS. Since the calendar flipped on us, he did have a two home run game against the Rangers. That's really, he has, you know, he had hits in the first three games of the month of August, two hits, one hit. He was hitting 320 as of August 3rd. He's down to 291. He has had one hit. Yeah. Oh, he's had one hit over his last 30 at least, one of his last 30.
Yeah.
It's really, really come down for him.
No, it's been awful. And that hit was a big hit. It was an RBI single the other night.
Yeah, it was a very critical hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. He's one of 30, and that kept you alive for a win you really kind of needed to hopefully avoid. You know, you're hoping to go 3-3 on this six game stand.
Be nice.
Big one today.
Yep, big one today. The rubber game of the series against the San Francisco Giants. So you got that, and that's an early game today. Early game today, 2:45 in Houston time. So we got that going on today on ESPN. Well, not on ESPN 97.5. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Tomorrow you'll be listening in this hour. And for your chance to be on our fantasy football league, okay? On August 27th and 28th, we are going to be at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. We are going to pick we're going to give you a chance to win that spot, you and a friend, and come along with us and be in our fantasy league. You get $200 in food credit, dollars in food and beverage credit. At the DraftKings Sportsbook during the fantasy draft, you get the dinner there as well. So tune in tomorrow at this hour to hang out with us and possibly be in our fantasy league.
Possibly.
You know, that's a possibility. They had a walkthrough yesterday. Tomorrow, you don't usually play in the preseason teams that you're going to play in the regular season. But the Texans have the Chargers tomorrow night at NRG. They had a walkthrough yesterday, and the big story was Keelan Rutledge, fight number four, this time with Will Anderson Jr. He ain't afraid to pick on the list is pretty good. Azeez Al-Shaair and Daniil Hunter, and now Will Anderson Jr. That's the fourth one. I forget who the other one was with. Was it Rankins or something? No, I forget who it was. Anyway, Keelan Rutledge. Again, with the...
He got into it. This time it was with Will Anderson.
That's what I said.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean previously.
Yeah.
Oh, the dust-ups? Yeah, I think he had one with Sheldon. I hadn't heard about the other ones.
There's four now.
I've been reading that this is the fourth one. Do you remember hearing about the other ones?
What was the first one? It must have been the first one because...
Well, I mean, it couldn't have been Al-Shaair, I don't think. I mean, I know he took Al-Shaair down to the ground when they weren't even in pads.
For some reason... I'm thinking.
But Al-Shaair was like cool with it. He's like, yeah, we got a little attitude on the offensive line. Now, this is, and I saw the responses to all this. Yeah, we got a real one. We got this. Listen, that's all fun and games. Like, this is something my dad preached, and I've heard this from other O linemen that I talked to in the Joe Moore text exchange. You know who loves this kind of stuff? Fans. You know who doesn't love it? Football people. Yeah. And here's why. They think, you know, you don't have to – this – number one, sometimes they think this is like you're putting on a show, trying to put on a show. This is – you get into it from time to time, that's fine. But at some point, you got to have some self-control. And this guy is a rookie, and right now he's showing no self-control at all. And I'm fine and good. Like, we all love the fact that he's tough, but this doesn't need to become a persona that he feels like he needs to live up to, where he's got to show that he's willing to fight and practice. Listen, this isn't prison. This isn't some test of heart where you have to get into it with the entire cell block when you first come in. These are your teammates, and things happen sometimes in practice. You shouldn't be in your fourth scrap when you haven't even gotten to your first preseason game. That's a little, like, Rutledge needs to get himself under control a little bit, too. And hopefully D'Amico is kind of letting him know, and Popovich lets him know. I'm all for the dog and the tenacity and getting into it a little after you know, when you finish a block. That's all fine and good from time to time. But this is like four dust-ups.
This is always when a coach says, I'm glad we got another team.
Yeah, exactly. And because, Gary Kubiak used to really get pissed at this.
Yeah, game. No, they don't want the fight. They don't want fights. They especially go down to the ground. Do not do that, you know. That's a no-no. But this is always when coaches, yeah, we're tired of hitting each other. It's hot out there. Everybody's got got to get this steam off. And so it's good to have another team in town. And it is. It's time after, 11, 12 practices now that they've had. You need to hit somebody else.
I got a nickname for him.
Who, Rutledge?
Yeah. Keelan Penning. Remember Trevor Penning?
So it's funny you say that because he did this at the Senior Bowl where he was grabbing people and throwing them. He almost threw a defensive end into a quarterback. What draft did he come out in?
22.
I'm trying to remember who the quarterback. There was a quarterback at the Senior Bowl. Penning almost threw him into the quarterback's knee. It could have just shattered it. It could have torn his ACL, torn up his knee. And we saw this happen, and I made a comment about it online. That Penning's got to cut this out, and I showed a video of it. The Senior Bowl director, Jim Nagy, called me, either text or called, and jumped me about, why are you posting this stuff? I'm like, what do you mean, Jim? He said, I have a hard enough time trying to get guys to come to this game and stay in this game throughout the week during practice because agents just want to pull them out after a day or two. He said, this kind of post can get, which I thought was kind of ridiculous, but I'm like, whatever, I'll delete the post, Jim. But Trevor Penning, always, you're 100% right. He's one of the guys I was thinking of. He always did crap like this to show that he was a badass coming out of Northern Iowa. And now he's just some backup who...
Maybe with the Chargers.
Well, Chargers had to trade for him.
Yeah, the Saints.
The Chargers had to trade for him. It was so bad last year, they traded for him to try to get a tackle, and he wasn't very good after they traded for
him. So his rookie year was 2022, and he got into altercations on three straight days. The third day, it led to a large team-wide fight. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Trevor Penning was in the middle of a fight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, okay, I get it. You think this is your identity. But your identity better be getting guys blocked. Because this tough guy crap goes out the window if you can't get guys blocked. Well, In fact, it gets extraordinarily old.
Jordan Reed. Blocked. I'm reading a quote here from Jordan Reed. He's quoted somebody else. It doesn't say who he's quoting. He attempts to humiliate people and when he gets the opportunity, and coaches had to tell him to tone down the physicality in team period. It was a walkthrough yesterday. It was a walkthrough, and he's getting in a scrap with Will Anderson.
It was a walkthrough?
Yeah. It was a bit accelerated. Walkthrough, but it was, yeah, they did it. It happened inside NRG. They were walking through for the walkthrough for the game. It wasn't just stand in front of the guy, that kind of thing. I think it was a little bit more physical than that, but even still, you're getting ready for a football game and you're fighting. It's a little much. It's a little much now. And maybe you're right. Maybe he is trying to make a name for himself or whatever. It just, I hope he's good. Man, I hope he's good. I hope he can block people along with fight people. That's what I'm hoping. That's my hope for him. And if he is good, if he's blocking people, I don't care who he is. He'll fight everybody. Fight everyone. No one cares. I hope he, bloody nose. There's the picture of him.
Yeah, that's a lot of – oh, 50. Personal foul, number 77 on the offense, or whatever number he is. Maybe 66 now.
He's 77.
On the offense. That's knocked the Texans out of field goal range.
He's got a real penalty. I'm going to rip a defender's helmet off and throw it vibe at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. We don't like – okay.
In a critical spot.
What was his name? Also, Mason got – from the Saints, Mason got his jersey at a –
I thought it was
at a thrift shop.
It wasn't Penning who did that?
No, no. Well, he's done it too.
Kyle Turley?
Kyle Turley. Mason got a Turley. Yeah. I said, Mason, where did you get this Kyle Turley jersey? Thrifting. I said, you ought to Google him. He did something interesting in a game, and they got ejected.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fun. That's good, clean fun. I'm sure. Okay. Under, over, Kalen Rutledge penalties.
Post play. Okay.
Post play. I'm going to say. For the season, I'll say 2.5.
One of them at least will be couched in the defense of C.J. Stroud, and
everyone
will be fine with that one.
I'm going to be fine with that first one.
Because he's probably heard it from the people in the building about how the O-line at times had not done what they're supposed to do to protect their quarterback. So C.J. takes one a little late.
One will be trying to peel somebody off a pile at the end with one of those late hits.
He'll definitely. Definitely.
He'll definitely get one of those.
Over under and personal foul penalties for Keelan. Even in, I'm going to set it at 2.5.
I'm having post play 2.5. I'm going to say personal fouls. I'm going to go 4.5 personal fouls.
Four
and a half personal fouls for him?
That's a lot.
I like the number.
I feel like the number's fair. He doesn't strike me as somebody who's going to control
himself. 4.5
gets
you
well.
Fine, like for a reoccurrence of penalties.
4.5 is a lot.
You'll get a letter from the NFL.
Offsetting personal fouls.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have some of those.
You'll get fined by the league.
Okay, you're peeling somebody off a pile late.
I can see that.
You're going to see that. Running over and hitting somebody into the – he gets tackled by the opposing bench, knocks the guy down. You know, somebody takes a hit he doesn't like. CJ takes a hit he doesn't like. Runs over, knocks the guy down to the ground on that, and then the bench and him get into it like a la Jacksonville, right? So I can see that happening. That would be two. I can see him and another guy pulling face masks after a play. That's offsetting. That's three. I mean, I can see these clear as day. They're coming. This is like I'm that lady who stitched and then something.
Oh, you mean Helena?
Yeah, something happened by
from
a window.
House of the Dragon. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm that lady who I sleep, and then when I have dreams, I see things that happen with Kalen Rutledge.
Okay.
It's very specific power I
got
have.
It.
Very specific. It just involves his penalties.
All right. Let's break. Let's talk. We got more to do. On the other side, don't let you go anywhere. Right now, though, we've got to talk a little Kaplan, Doc Kaplan.
Dr. Michael Kaplan, the man who made my sinus problems go away. It's kind of crazy. The first time I had full clearance with my nose, it was an experience I wasn't used to because I've had impacted sinuses for so long. I had the deviated septum my whole life, or at least since I was 2 years old when I broke it on a bar in a clothing store, and it was just something I've learned to live with. You're learning to live with this as well. You have learned to live with it, but it's not something that helps your quality of life. In fact, it hurts your quality of life. Maybe you don't smell as well as you should. Maybe you're having issues bringing air in. You have to breathe through your mouth. Anytime you get any kind of a cold, it's a nightmare trying to sleep at night. It may have an impact on you when you're trying to work out or run or play sports because you can't get breath the way you need to. I don't know what the problem is for you. I can tell you Dr. Kaplan's the solution. He is a pioneer in balloon sinuplasty. What they do is they go in through the nasal passages and they clear out the entire cavity. And they can show you what your cavity looks like before the – in fact, they have to take a scan to see how you are impacted by your sinus issues. The office is an ear, nose, and throat office. So any kind of issues with ear, nose, and throat is something that the office can take care of. Ear ringing, sore throat, you need to get checked because of that. That's Dr. Kaplan. That's the Kaplan office. That's his specialty. KaplanSinusRelief.com. That's a website you can use. Kaplan starts with a K, K-A-P-L-A-N, KaplanSinusRelief.com. Go to the website and set up your consultation today and find out how they can help you live a better quality of life.
ESPN 97.5. It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. The number, our second segment here, a reminder, tomorrow, keep on listening so that you can be in our fantasy league at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles, August 27th and 28th. And Houston Restaurant Week raised more than $1.6 million for the Houston Food Bank last year. This year, they're trying to top it. Right now through September 7th, eat big, do good. Details at HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. All right, 713-780-3776. We talked a little bit about Hunter Brown. His explanation to Brian McTaggart was, my chase is down, not getting as many whiffs. If you want to ask them and come back to me and see what their approach was, I would love to have that info, too. I mean, I can't tell you, you go from having a bunch of whiffs to one game not. Is it their approach? Is it their execution? I mean, that's the game. That's baseball. Unfortunately, tonight, I got one big whiff against Devers. And outside of that, I don't think any were too important. He just early on, he's, you know, a walk. He had Devers 1-2, and then he walks him. And it just was like, what? And with non-competitive pitches. I mean, he didn't get, I don't know what, maybe it's because he is too far outside the zone. He's not getting people to chase stuff. And, and he's ended up walking some people and not, and they really did have a good approach against him. They really did. Mm-hmm. As opposed to what the Astros had against San Diego Sunday night.
Yeah.
Just go up and four pitch innings, all those four pitch innings that they had.
That was just terrible.
It was awful.
That was almost intentional. Like they said, listen, if we're going to go out, we're either going to win this or lose this fast. But what we're not going to do is get to a bunch of 3-2 counts. Yeah. That's what we're not going to do.
The Astros that night.
We're not going to get deep into counts, boys. Yeah. We're going to either win this quick or lose this quick. This is a getaway game.
The Astros had threw 135 pitches. San Diego threw 98 that night. I mean, holy crap. Just under 100 pitches in the game for the whole team, for the whole staff. Ridiculous. We were talking about D'Amico. And whether or not he likes the Keelan Rutledge, the scraps that he's in, he actually kind of laughed. Here's D'Amico when asked about the yesterday, in case you just are joining us, Keelan Rutledge and Will Anderson Jr. went at it in the walkthrough at NRG Stadium yesterday. Here is D'Amico talking about it.
Better be careful there. You messing with Will Anderson. But no, I love it. Right? I love the scrappiness of Keelan. I love that his mindset is what I love. He's not backing down from anybody, as he should. I expect that from every player on our team. We're not backing down from anybody. We know we're not physically fighting, but there's always chippiness in our game because it's a tough, it's a physical, violent game that we play, and there's going to be some chippiness that goes on. But we just have to make sure we're smart, especially in game. Right? We have to make sure we're smart and make sure we're not that second guy to cause the team to hurt ourselves. And then coach is going to be really upset.
So he started off with like, I love it. That's great. And then he went to the, so linebacker D'Amico was the first one to answer that. Then head coach D'Amico took over midway through and said, yeah, but, you know, you can end up hurting ourselves.
And then coach will be mad.
Yeah.
So,
At some point, you're going to see, like right now, they're trying to establish that culture on the offensive line and the toughness, and it's going to be okay. Yeah. They're going to let that ride for a while. At some point, Popovich is going to jump in and say, hey, let's cut the crap.
They haven't had a mean dude.
It can it can be excused for a little bit.
Quentin Nelson. They haven't, that badass, bad dude that brings a mean streak to the offensive line. They've never had that.
Yeah, I guess, the more I think about it, now, don't be dumb, and don't just do this because you think it's your persona, but, I think he's naturally this way. I don't think it's a put on or a show, but at some point it can be, I got to live up to this. Because I think Draymond got to that point. I think Dennis Rodman definitely got to that point where you think you have something to live up to. For right now, though, they're reestablishing what the identity is going to look like moving forward. And Quentin Nelson kind of started something. And he's actually not a big talker in the locker room. He's not a big, but he's a doer on the field. And there are expectations based on how Quentin plays. But he doesn't just start fights and things like that. He's the guy that's in a big, now he does want to bury you. And he wants to humiliate you literally every snap too. I mean, in a man beat man way that's completely legal inside the game. But I think the Texans are okay with trying to get out of, you know, no more Gucci guards. This is an offensive line that they want. D'Amico wants this kind of mentality, and he's gonna let Rutledge eat for a little bit, but at some point they're gonna say, okay, these are your teammates, let's dial it back, and we definitely don't want 15-yard
penalties. Right. I mean, somebody just, my boy just texted me, Conrad Dobler. I mean, you got it, you know, that kind of, who was the Raider dude that, he made the guy cry, too.
Oh, Richie Incognito.
Incognito.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Really good player, really not great dude, I don't think.
No. I think. Hopefully Keelan is a better person than him. Yeah, but we do want the mean thing is good, though. We like the mean thing. That's what we want. We want a mean streak on our offensive line, which is something they've never had. They've never, ever had a mean streak, dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we've
had I mean,
we had the nicest guys in the world.
You mean on the offensive line?
Yeah. You know, I mean, Steve McKinney. Yeah,
those guys didn't take it. Like, they weren't going to let you just walk. And Dwayne Brown, they weren't going to let you walk all over them. But they weren't, like, I wouldn't say that there was a mean streak, per se.
No.
Chris Myers, Mike Brazel, no. Fred Weary. No, you're right. Just one guy where you said, this guy's got a lot of attitude. I don't remember. In the time that we've covered the Texans, which is the entirety of the organization, has there been one guy that you say, man, that guy's got some attitude?
Mm-hmm. No, not one guy.
This is the first guy
that we've got that's got this ship.
It's been a potential longtime starter, but I'm struggling to think of anybody.
No, we haven't had attitude at all. That's what we got now.
Wrestling people would call this the Attitude Era. This is now the Attitude Era with Azeez Al-Shaair and Will Anderson. And they do feel like professional wrestlers, if I'm being honest. Keelan Rutledge.
Yeah.
Probably walking around the 2x4 somewhere. Tough guy. So maybe this is some, and I know Jim Duggan wasn't Attitude Era. Stop it, wrestling geeks. I understand.
Wait, what?
I'm just talking to the wrestling fans.
Well,
he strikes me as some
actually,
kind of.
Wrestling guy was going to get you.
The Attitude Era did not include Jim Duggan, who you, I understand. I'm just cutting you off right now at the knees before you come after me and try to wrestling.
Right. Altuve got hit in the foot yesterday. He had to come out of the game. That's not good. I mean, as many holes as this lineup has already, it's not like he's been great, but, man, you'd rather have Altuve up there than Nelson Velasquez, who you just picked up off waivers, and he's hitting sixth in your lineup. That's another thing that Joe does. He can stop now. And look now where your center fielder is batting. Eighth? What is he, seventh? Eighth, that's where he belongs, not fourth when he gets. When Dalton Varsho joins the team, he doesn't have to hit fourth. Okay, we don't have to do that. He can hit where he's supposed to. He should hit where a 211 hitter should hit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's seventh or eighth or whatever. We can stop already. As soon as he comes up, we can put him fourth. We don't have to do that with 211 hitters. We can put him lower in the lineup when we get him. When Dana picks up a 211 guy, we can drop him in the order. It's okay. 713-780-3776. Time to talk a little Champion Energy, my friends. Champion Energy is where you get your electricity on. I want you to do it. I want you to get your electricity perfectly, which I've never had a problem, never had an issue with Champion Energy. Secondly, I want you to get it less expensive. And that's what Champion Energy does. You're looking for the best way to get that electricity. I mean, it's electricity. You can't even see it. Who even knows what it is, really? It's impossible to know what it really is. But here's the deal. You need it. You got to have it. Might as well get it less expensive. Champion.energy/1560.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
To John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776, the number to hang out with us. JT is called in. He wants to talk a little Astros. JP. What's up, JP?
Hey, good morning, guys. Like the little stretch where the Astros, you know, swept the Rangers and got in first place, it may have been the worst thing to happen to this franchise. Because, you know, they played San Diego, a little more talented team. It's San Francisco, who's not a good team. And they look like kind of like they did in April and May again, where the lineup has a ton of holes and not enough pitching. And, you know, I don't know if Jim Crane just doesn't have the courage to do what he did when he bought the team, but. And I get the deadline's passed, but Jordan, Pena, Hader, Paredes, Brown all should have been on the trading block to reset this franchise. Because even if they win the division by some miracle, which I just don't see happening at this point because of the lack of pitching, with Peter Lambert as your best starter, are you going to win a playoff series? So, you know, kind of sold the future potentially to maybe have a home or two playoff game. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like they're a franchise. It really has a strong direction right now, and we're potentially looking, you know, at a painful next 3 or 4 years. And they could have maybe accelerated that by moving some guys at the deadline instead of trying to chase this division title that they're going after.
I don't know how old you are, but you sound like you could be my son, because this feels exactly like everything I was saying. It's exactly how I feel. Is you had these opportunities to rebuild, and
your kids don't agree with anything you say. Why would he be your
well,
son?
A good one.
How does he feel about thrifting?
A good one.
Yeah.
How's
his dribble package?
My daughter went thrifting, and I asked her if she came back with a sack of older people's clothes that's worn, and she goes, no, those boys are gross who do that. They literally come home with trash bags full of clothes that they buy them by the pounds. And she comes back like a regular person. She thrifted. I got this ring, this cool ring. I got this top.
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
How do you have that saved? What caused you to save that line from, and where's it from?
Because. There was a show, I forgot what it was called, I guess something about people with oddities, and this woman would check obituaries and then see if these people wanted to sell the clothes of their dead relatives. So she would just cold call these people's homes and go, hey, I'll offer to clean up anything you need me to clean up as long as I get access to the clothes of your dead relative. And that, and when she went to this man's house, this is what he said.
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
That's exactly, yes, my sons want your dead husband's clothes.
All right, back to the Astros.
Back to the Astros.
Astros and...
Who were thrifting with Dalton Varsho was thrifting.
Could JP have been any more negative? I mean, everything. This is the worst thing that's happened in the
franchise.
They're
61 and 60. What do you talk about, Professor Positive?
Division. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen when you get to the postseason. What do you want?
We know.
So you want to be,
you just want
a crap team.
Look at the last 3 years.
You have a crap team.
I know you have a crap. I know you have a. No,
his whole point
have
is
crap
you could have been real.
You could have been realistic.
You
have a team suckling on the teat of the bad AOS. That's what you have.
Yes.
Well,
the bad AL to be.
Yeah, you have a team.
Frank.
You never know when you're going to get hot. You have no idea.
They just got hot.
And they're going to get hot again.
They just got hot. Hunter Brown can't get hot.
Listen.
He's doing his character again. He's doing his character.
Okay.
He's doing his Astro character now.
So you know that you're a long way away. Your prospects are getting better. but they're all in low A and A ball.
Mm-hmm.
You're a long way from heaven. So what you guys want to do, just sell everybody now.
Wait, you just made the
point. Let's suck again for 4 years.
No, you're a long way away. You're right. You're a long way away. So let's.
You're a long way away so if you just gut your major league team.
You're a long way away right now.
No, you're not a long way away. Right now.
You're not a long way away from winning a championship?
Well, you got to get there. You got to
get there. No. Is the roster as it's constructed? You don't think it's there? You don't think they're a long way away from winning a championship?
Not a long way away. No.
Wow.
I think they have good players.
This has been not good for like the last 3 years. Even when they got to the playoffs, the
it's been
Tigers smacked them. They've declined every year.
It's gotten worse and worse. Well, I get it. They won the World Series, but they were one home game away from making the World Series in 2023. So I'll start there. Since that point, they've gotten less and less competitive. And this year, they may win the division, but they're worse than they were last year.
It's a chronically terrible division, all with negative run differentials. Look, JP's saying what I believe. It's just that you can't really run that game anymore once the Astros took the lead in the division. And they were seven games back, five games back. You know, it doesn't change the fact that you're not really in. I mean, you're not really in a serious race. This anything can happen. Like you can win playoff series is not realistic.
Yeah, it is.
It's just not realistic. No, you can win a game. You can't win a series against good teams.
Yeah, you
against one of those.
I've seen teams that have gotten to the playoffs with you're like, man.
I hope we find out.
And they win series
because I think they'll literally get their brains
get hot.
Smashed in against a team.
And you
like
got guys that are better.
Yankees.
You got guys that are better than they're showing right now. Hunter Brown. Peter Lambert is not going to be your ace.
Doesn't change your roster, John. It doesn't change what you have. You just said they got holes in their roster.
They do have
in the lineup. You just said that to open the show. It doesn't change. Their pitching staff's not a plus pitching staff, and they got holes in their lineup.
Name a team that doesn't have holes in their lineup ever.
JP wasn't wrong with what he said.
No,
they could.
I mean,
they could have increased
incredibly negative.
You know what? No, it's not. It's a team building. It's taking a macro view of a roster. It's not neat team building. We were late to Roy Oswalt and Lance Berkman, or they could have had more prospects there. The Rockets were late to move Olajuwon, or they would have had more prospects there. It's just the truth. It's painful. It's not popular by any stretch. I'm not saying it's popular, but what he said, I don't disagree with JP. Well, it's just not popular.
Listen, It's not a great team. It's not a great team.
No.
But I don't want to go through 2011, 12, and 13
I'm not advocating that.
Yeah, well, that's what you're going to get. You get rid of – why isn't
– Paredes?
You wanted to trade Yordan.
Paredes?
If
you wanted a big reset, Yordan could bring in – literally could usher in the newest version of the Astros super squad if you did a good job of evaluating.
If
you feel like you have a good man at the helm who understands the minor league system,
that's what you want.
He
Dana
could
to
bring
do.
In multiple
that's what you
all-stars.
Want Dana and Jeff to do
that's well, and that's the problem is you know this is what you get when you have Dana. I don't know that I trust Dana.
So you don't want 2011 through about 2014.
No, nobody wants that.
But you'd rather have. From about 2000, let's say 2006 through 2000.
That was gross in a different way. Yeah, you had no chance. And you were watching it go downhill.
Yes. That's what it feels like.
That's where they are right now. Yes. But you don't want to go to the studs.
No.
Which is what moving Yordan and all the guys would do. Now, your rebuild would be insane, provided you hit. But that's not a popular, that's not what Jim would do. But moving Paredes isn't the end of, like... But you can't do that once you're leading a division. You can't move Paredes. You can't move Pena. But you need to move Pena. He's not going to be here. You need to maybe even Hunter Brown. I think you need to sit down and pay Hunter Brown. I think he needs to be the first player. Now, it's a little shaky right now. It feels a little like giving a 10-year deal to this guy would feel a little like, oh, man. So I don't know about that. And I don't think Jim would ever go higher than six, probably maybe eight. Maybe he gets to eight. Hopefully a new CBA will put some contract limits. I hope what they do is say you can't go like the NBA did. You can't go any longer than 6 years. You want to pay somebody $50 million a year? Go ahead. You can get to $300 million. But you can't go any longer than this amount of years. That would make it more competitive for teams. Then teams like the Astros or whoever who don't want to make bad financial deals could actually be in the running. Because you shouldn't be penalized because you know it's stupid to give a 14-year deal. Like, you shouldn't be penalized. You should still be in the mix. And right now you can't be because some teams are just willing to do really stupid long-term deals. How about make it a 6-year deal and everyone is competitive? And it will raise the rates. I mean, you'll see the rates per year go up if you do something like that. But the Players Association wants as much guaranteed money as they can get. So they're not – It's gonna be tough. But the NBA, when they went to, you know, everyone thought the NBA would never bat an eye. You had the Michael Jordans was making $33 million, which was insane, and Kevin Garnett was, and it was, and then I don't know how it happened, but the NBA said, okay, we'll take shorter term deals. They started realizing we play a long time. These shorter term deals, we can get to supermax deals, and it actually benefited the NBA. No one thought it would. They thought it was counterintuitive. But what happened was you got to the market faster. Look at James Harden. James Harden got new max deals like every 2 years. I don't see why that couldn't happen in baseball. It's just that baseball players can be a little streakier than basketball players, so that's probably what they're worried about, is a baseball player can have a bad year. And, yeah. You know?
No, I don't even want to go over this again. I mean, it's going to be ridiculous. They're not playing baseball for a while next year.
No.
There's too much stuff to fix.
No, players are not backing off of this.
No, time for you to think about yourself and think about your career and think. I was just talking about electricity with Champion Energy, and nobody even knows what it is. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. Yes, they do. IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 66 in Houston. They've been around for 125 years. You think they don't know what electricity is? Yeah, because they build, maintain, and operate our electrical grid. It's what they do. 4,800 members strong, a community built on craftsmanship, safety, and opportunity. They're looking for you to get in with them. It takes a while to become a master of the in the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers and work on the grid. But they, while you're learning, they pay you. Paid on-the-job training, nationally recognized career in as little as 3 to 5 years. So I don't know what you've done or what you're doing or where you think you're headed. If you are in a dead-end job and are looking for a career, go to IBEW66.com, IBEW66.com. Powering careers, powering the future.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You guys remember Anthony Wint? You must have written him up, Lance. He was a Jets linebacker. No? Is Lance even there?
He didn't have his earbuds in.
I have headphones now. I've got my own headphones.
Oh, how about put them in every once in a while?
So I have to.
How about put them in every once in a while?
I don't. I no longer just turn the volume up and let it sit there like a transistor radio on the.
Okay. You remember Anthony Wint?
Anthony Wint.
He was a linebacker for the Jets. I don't remember him. Anyway, he fought yesterday in the UFC. He got himself a contract with Dana. They had a contenders series last night.
Yep.
And he fought and he beat it. He won in 34 seconds, so he got a contract. I was wondering if you remember. I don't
remember him at all.
No. Anthony Wint. Anyway, played for the Jets. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5. Siege. Oh, my gosh. Watching Deshaun videos, he looks so bad.
It's depressing.
Holy crap. CJ threw a pick yesterday, but, you know, I don't know. D'Amico was asked. I mean, here's the deal, is you've got, you know, you got an offensive line. They're taking the heat, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about the pressure on CJ?
Right.
And asked about that yesterday. Here is D'Amico.
The defense is making it very tough on us offensively, and we know that. We know our offense is up against a challenge every single day, going against Will, Daniil, on the edges. I think CJ has grown from the aspect of being able to, you know, really maneuver in the pocket And not just maneuvering, but it's keeping two hands on the football. It's securing the football. It's stepping up in the pocket. It's still keeping his eyes downfield, right, making the proper reads, still throwing strikes. Like, that's what's impressive about him. He's not getting flustered if things break down. He's still able to maneuver and make those plays on the run that I talked about a couple days ago.
It'd be better if they blocked, but I mean, it is Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter. You're not going to face that. You're not. That, it's good for everybody. You want to practice against the best,
right?
So that when you get in the game, it's a lot easier because you were every day you had to face those two. So that's good. That's all good, and it's good. You know that CJ's stepping up and making plays and keeping. You know, if in fact that is going to be the case during the regular season, this is all good. It's all good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Make it a lot harder in practice, and in the game, it'll be easier. Although it's never going to be easy, but. When you practice against the best, you get better. And
well, we had a call about that on Friday, Lance. Remember, we had a caller ask if the defense and how they punish
offense. It was
affecting the confidence of
what
the
was
quarterback.
His name? It was
I forgot his name.
It was that old school caller who used to call in all the time. So his thought was, John, is CJ basically shell shocked because of the defenses he has to face in practice? But the thing is, number one, he's not getting hit. Number two, he will, a lot of times, and you've seen it, John, where they don't just stop it like, okay, that's a sack. The DB, or the pass rusher will get there. He might touch him. Then he backs off and see, and the quarterback will still go through, you know, until he throws the ball. Like, he'll go through a third or fourth read, whatever the case may be. So I kind of thought it'd be one thing if CJ's getting hit by Will Anderson, but I don't know. That strikes. Now, I do
think
it's harder.
Quickens everything. Yeah, it could make him like, holy crap.
It could hurt his confidence, possibly.
It could. It absolutely could, because he's got to get rid of the ball faster, and he's got to, you know, but it does quicken everything up.
Right.
And when you're getting that kind of pressure, and it makes you think faster, makes you react faster, makes you. It absolutely could. I mean, I don't think I think that's legitimate, but there's also the other side of it'll make him better. I'm hoping we're all hoping that that's the case.
Right.
Is that he gets better from this. He makes decisions faster because of this. All of that. All that stuff. Patel right now is watching the Buffalo Bills play the Dolphins. Is it the Dolphins game?
Yeah, someone tweeted, what the hell did Christian Wilkins do in that locker room? Because they showed him making a play. Like, why is that guy out of a job? So that was someone was questioning. If he can make plays like this, he must have really done something bad.
Oh, you're talking about, no one will talk about it. No one, and I've actually asked somebody over at NFL Network, somebody, I said, what do you ever, he goes, just goofing around in the locker, just stuff you shouldn't do, you know, just made people feel uncomfortable. That's all it was, made people feel uncomfortable. I think he went over and kissed somebody on the head.
Yeah.
Is what it was.
And then there was some reporting about how he didn't take the rehab, he didn't do the rehab coming back from an injury the way the Raiders wanted him to, so they were upset with
him.
Well,
that's a chance also to get out of that contract, I think.
Yeah, because they gave him a lot of money as one of their big additions in that offseason, and it did not work out. He gets hurt, and then he does the kiss a guy on the forehead thing. That couldn't have been the first time he had done something in the locker room, right? One kiss on the forehead is enough? Maybe it is, but yeah, that was a pretty good defensive tackle who can't find work anywhere.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, it just popped up on my timeline.
But he's also got a fracture in his foot. Is that better?
We don't know. No one knows anything about what Christian Wilkins is doing, because as soon as he got jettisoned by the Raiders, he's kind of been out of sight, out of mind. Doesn't even do like the workout videos that pros do. Look, I'm making my comeback. I'm right around the corner. Someone signed me. He's not even doing that. So I don't know what he's doing.
Huh. That is weird. I wonder if somebody's going to pick him up, right?
Yeah, what is he? Might be 30 years old now. I'm not sure exactly.
At some point, somebody is going to need a defense tackle, and they're like, we'll take him.
Yep.
Like, this team.
And maybe he'll sign for whatever.
Well, this team had interest in Terrion Arnold while he is.
He looked into it.
He has ongoing.
Well, they're going to think their locker room is strong enough to.
Yeah. It was revealed in a deposition, I think, or testimony, that the Texans were one of the teams who worked him out. That wasn't public knowledge till his lawyer or agent, I forgot who it was on the witness stand talking about why he should be given the ability to travel, because it could hurt his prospects if he can't travel to these workouts. The Seahawks worked him out. I think on the latest Hard Knocks, there's a mention of it, and then you see video of him at working out. So there are teams that are interested in him. We just don't know if he'll have the liberty to actually play for a team.
Yeah. Yep. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. We mentioned the Golden Nugget a few times. Want you to make sure that you're listening tomorrow so you got a chance to go to the Golden Nugget with us. You can go to the Golden Nugget anytime you want. You can have your fantasy draft there. There's still openings. You get your hotel room, okay? You can do it in one day. You absolutely could, but it, you know what? Spend the night at least. You know, do it on the weekend with your team right before the season starts. Bring the wives, bring the kids. They all play in the pool all day long. You have a great time. You get a cabana. You can do it outside by the pool, or you can do it in the DraftKings Sportsbook. They got packages available. Great way to do your fantasy draft. You know, plan. Let's go. You still got plenty of time to plan that. Everybody go away for that weekend. It's just fun. That's 12 people, 12 guys and families all together with all those restaurants and all. It's just, there's something for everybody at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Great place to get your fantasy draft. Great place for football. Listen, football season is here. Man, get your room for a weekend and watch football at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles in the DraftKings Sportsbook. It doesn't get any better. So you're looking for a great way to have a great week, a great football weekend. Doesn't get any better. GoldenNuggetLC.com, GoldenNuggetLC.com.
ESPN 97.5. I assumed you knew.